This is Taking On Sports, where you'll find the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. Today, Andy Beebe and I take on the end of the Pistons and Red Wings seasons. Both missed the playoffs. Where do they go from here? Winter sports seasons are beginning to wrap up. Andy Beebe joins me here as we're ready to discuss the end of the Pistons and Red Wings seasons. Let's start with the good team. Let's start with the Red Wings, who miss out on the postseason by a singular point. And I'm not a big hockey guy. That's why we bring you in. But yesterday it was the first time that we've had a group hockey watching session where our group chat is on fire. The only thing we weren't doing is video chatting during it, but everything that happened, constant comments throughout it. And I'm not a big hockey guy. Mitch isn't a big hockey guy. Kyle's not a big hockey guy. You are. You're a fan of the Wings. You watch just about every single game. But I said to you right before we hit the record button here, that the game two against the Canadiens was probably in the top 10 of most exciting regular season games I've watched of Detroit sports. I don't have much in the way of Pistons. Some Tigers games are up there. There's some Lions games that are up there. But the energy around that game on Tuesday night was nuts.
It was. And, it makes me feel a little sad for you guys, because a lot of that energy really is listening to Ken Daniels. And man, he brings it. You guys missed a lot of great calls with Ken Daniels, I'll tell you what. But, I mean, yeah, I told you before the show, it seems like the Red Wings environment, whether they were home or away, you know, in the booth, on the screen, they've had this playoff aura, this playoff feel around them for the last 3 weeks. The push was coming, and we knew it. And, you know, it's disappointing to see it end the way it did. And I'm glad that you guys were able to join. I was, you know, it's probably about the second period. I almost started a video call. I was curious to see. I wanted to get us all together that way. But the chat works too. But yeah, it was an exciting game. I mean, it was what you expected. I mean, this is a team that's been scrapping the last couple of weeks and really digging themselves out of a hole. You know, they were in a great position back in February. Wonderful position. I want to say like 8 points north of their last wild card spot. And obviously, you know, for anybody watching the Red Wings, know that the month of March was not a pleasant month for them. You know, a big injury to Larkin. And I mean, I'm not going to talk much about the trash patch as much as many other people will, but you know, it was a really tough time when I think 3-11 in the month of March, I believe it was, something along those lines, 3-11, 3-12, a really tough stretch that put themselves in a hole and really just forced them to play catch up. But I mean, they fought hard, especially against tough teams too. Like, they played Tampa well down the stretch. They played the Rangers well down the stretch. And then they got some gifts. I mean, it was definitely a playoff race for any of those teams that they were racing with. Washington, Philly, could have easily ran away with it. But time and time again, they kept giving the Red Wings opportunities. And Red Wings missed a few. You know, you could point to so many stretches, so many games, so many opportunities where the Red Wings could have made up points. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I mentioned it during our last pod when we talked about the Red Wings, this is the fifth straight year where they've shown progress. It's the fifth straight year where they're just taking those steps. And we knew, you know, that they had been in this rebuilding process. And I think that's kind of where, you know, after a night's sleep and thinking about it at work, that's really the only thing you can take away from it. You know, it's seasons have stretches, you know, in baseball. Well, it's the same with hockey. Basketball is the same shit. Like, it's, you know, it's just the way it is. You got to deal with it. And, but, you know, grand scheme of things, they've made progress each of the last 5 years. And let's hope that this offseason we'll add a couple of key pieces and keep a few more guys around. And I mean, if you're 1 point out of the playoffs, the next step is making it in.
I have multiple questions. Let's just start with the game-tying goal from Tuesday night, because that was one of the more exciting things, individual moments I've seen in a sporting event this year. You're somebody who watches hockey. I feel like that type of stuff doesn't happen very much. 7.7 seconds left. You have time for one shot, because in hockey, right, it's not like basketball where as long as the puck is off the stick, you know, it counts. Once that horn goes off, that puck has to be across the line in order for it to count as a goal, correct? So I have to assume something like yesterday doesn't happen very much.
Not very often, especially now off a face-off like that. I mean, there is only one way that could have gone right, really. And, I mean, watching that replay over and over again, I mean, obviously it was a must-win face-off. And, I mean, a behind-the-back pass there in the blue line to Perron. And, I mean, really, it's just get it on target. I mean, you only have one shot. You just get on target, see what happens. And, you know, especially, I mean, you could tell too with the goalie going from post to post, because, you know, the pass is going across him. So it's like, all right, well, I'm going to shoot to the near post. Was that intentional? Who knows? But he shot through a crowd. And, I mean, how the puck got through there, no freaking idea. But no, with 7.7 seconds, I already had a GIF lined up and sitting there in the queue of pure disappointment at that face off, just thinking like, oh, well, that's, disappointed sigh. I mean, I sent it later in the night.
You got to
sure
it.
When I
saw
the Philly game, but it was that exact GIF, sitting there just waiting. That's not something that was a desperation play. And I mean, and that's how it was the last two games. I mean, the last two games playing against the Canadiens too, the home and home. And I mean, the last game wasn't as, I shouldn't say, I mean, it was obviously thrilling, but, you know, the last goal from Raymond sending it to overtime had, I want to say, about a minute 45 left. So it's like, yeah, not as near, but they're also down 4-2 later in the game as well. So they had to score two quick goals there in the last 5 minutes, and they were able to do it. So it's, it's what you want to see. And I'm, like I said, I'm glad that you guys were able to enjoy it. And, at least for the few seconds that we thought we had a shot to make it to the playoffs, because after that game went to overtime, we knew very quickly that the season was over.
I saw some optimistic Detroit fans compare this Red Wings team that falls just short to the 2022 Detroit Lions that beat Green Bay on the final game of the year to end up missing the playoffs by half a game. We needed, I believe it was the Rams to beat the Seahawks in the 4 o'clock window, and they didn't do it. But they picked up a big win later on. Do you see that comparison here with this Red Wings team? Can you compare this to that Lions team, that the energy is coming, that this team is on the rise, where they're going to be maybe not NFC, that'd be Eastern Conference Finals next year for the Wings. But, you know, is it something that you see a huge jump coming in the near future?
I mean, it was definitely, I think it will definitely attribute to momentum. I mean, it has that feeling. It definitely does. It's one of those where, I mean, you know, you were so close. No, absolutely. That's a great comparison. I mean, I think now, as a Red Wing fan base, next year playoffs are not just the hope. Playoffs are an expectation now. Like, that's where they're at. It's an expectation to make it to the playoffs. And I mean, then, at that point, it doesn't matter if you enter in as an 8 seed or if you enter in as a 2 seed. Anything can happen. That's the beautiful thing about the Stanley Cup. I know it happens with a lot, but I mean, in my opinion, more so with the Stanley Cup, there are so many crazy things that could happen. Puck luck's a real thing, and a lot of bounces that can go your way, and just depends on how the ice is that night. So, winning 3 of the last 5 games, especially, against, the teams that are, kind of rivals there in the East, that overtime win against Toronto at Toronto kind of sent him into this high skid to finish off the series or season with 3 straight wins and close wins. I mean, 3 straight overtime wins, and you end up pulling them out. I think that really attributes to telling this team, like, yeah, it sucks. But bigger picture is, yeah, like I said, now it's an expectation. Now we know what we have. You know, it's the off season will be key. I think, you know, having the young pieces around will be vital. Now it's seeing what they can add to them. And I mean, I know they have a couple of loose ends that I'd really like them to tie up in this off season, but I have faith in Yzerman. I think it's a need. Those things are going to get taken care of first and then go into free agency after that.
Yeah, let's get into that. Where do they go from here? How do the Wings get from finishing it, you know, that 91 points, just missing out on the postseason? How do they get to, you know, where they're actually in the postseason? What additions do they have to make? Subtractions do they have to make? Changes do they have to make in this offseason?
Well, the two big things for me, Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider are free, or they're going into free agency. Now, I don't think it's going to be the case. I see contracts going their way, and I see long contracts going their way. They're not going to get a Dylan Larkin deal, but I do see contracts for them, hopefully about 8 years. I'm looking at long contracts for these two players. I mean, they're both 22 years old, and they've been playing like studs. Those are going to be the anchors that can really propel this team forward. So Raymond and Sider, to me, are 100% number one top priority. Keep them on your squad, and I think that's really what Yzerman's looking to do. And from that point on, we'll see what the – really, I think we're going to have to see what the cap looks like, because I know – you know, and looking at it, the NHL is looking to bump it up a little bit from where it was, and possibly look into something next year or next offseason as well. And that will go into the plan to kind of figure things out. So, I think, yeah, it's just waiting to see what free agents are out there. That's something that I know will be on everybody's radar after the Stanley Cup is over. There'll be a period of time where teams can re-sign them, and then at that point they're off. But I think for the Red Wings, definitely Raymond and Sider. But the young players, I mean, we saw Simon Edvinson join the team for, I want to say, the last, I don't know, 12 to 15 games. I want to say he was on the squad. And if you haven't watched him play, he's about 21-year-old player, defenseman, 6'6". And he's one of those guys that I think the Red Wings have needed for a while. And, you know, they've had him sitting there on the wings just chilling. But having him up there, giving him time, especially that much time late in the season, is just a sign to the Red Wings and a sign to the fans that he is going to be starting with a Red Wing on his chest moving forward next year. He's going to be a player that's going to be there. And that'll be fun. That'll be exciting, because I know on their defensive side, the Red Wings have been known to try to look and find these offensive-minded defensive players. And then they get aggressive and, get aggressive and then get beat, especially out in transition. And that's something in hockey. Hockey happens so fast. So many things happen so fast. Two-on-ones will kill you, especially against mediocre goalies that you have on your back end. So I think having Simon Edvinson up there will be very, very fun to watch. I'll be eager to see him down there. But I think the only other thing I'm looking at is to see what they do with their goalie situation. Reimer, I don't expect Reimer to be there next year. 36 years old, I want to say. I think he's in his final year, finished his final year. Don't expect him to get re-signed. Alex Lyon, he has 1 year left, if I remember correctly. And I think he'll be there, but they do have a few younger goalies that they've been grooming and looking to develop and see. And Sebastian Coase is one of them. I'd be very curious to see if he ends up getting promoted. He might end up starting the year with the Grand Rapids Griffins, but don't be surprised if within the first couple months of the season, Sebastian Coase gets a little bit of time and experience up there. He'll be a fun goalie to watch. Definitely a little bit of excitement, and honestly, just youth in the crease, something that the Red Wings haven't had, I felt like, probably since Peter Mrazek, who's still in the league and was somebody that just didn't really have any help and got beamed with pucks left and right and they end up giving them away. But yeah, I think that's really it. Trying to see, you know, what their plans are for Sebastian Kosa, and I think he'll be the first young netminder that you see, and somebody just shortly behind him, Trey Augustine, a goalie that was a very vital part in Michigan State and their run that they've been having, winning the Big Ten this year, and almost making it to the Frozen Four. Something that Michigan State's, I know their hockey program's been struggling a bit, but he was an anchor on the backside of their team. And we'll see. I think he'll probably spend some time in the AHL, but I see him as Sebastian Kosa's replacement as Kosa comes up to the big leagues.
It's an exciting time right now for the Wings, because you don't have a ton of big time additions that they need to make. You're not talking about completely changing over. And one thing you didn't mention was replacing the coach or anything like that. Now, hockey coaches get replaced quickly. And hockey coaches, just because we think Coach Lalonde's job might be safe now, that doesn't mean it's going to be safe in January. It could be a completely different thing. Last one I have with the Wings is there a big-time addition to be made in this offseason, though? Do you think that Yzerman could get really aggressive, maybe go try and get one more guy who can really put the puck in the back of the net in free agency or in a trade? Is there a big-time move to be made, or is this going to be pretty much develop the core and let's see what happens?
I mean, if they do, I think they'll probably be looking on the defensive side of the puck. I think their offense is set, in my mind. Their offense is set. Would I like Yzerman to be absolutely aggressive? Hell yeah. I would like him to be able to reach up and touch the ceiling of his salary cap. Is he going to do that? Well, the last couple of years haven't really shown that, and that's a little bit of what makes me nervous. Now, you know, everywhere you look, you see that, you know, it's kind of tough for Red Wings fans to see it now based on how close they were. But a few years ago, they were bad. They were a very terrible team. And, you know, when you looked at the plan there, you were talking 5-6 years of a rebuild. But, you know, a tough pill probably for Red Wings fans to swallow today is that right now they're ahead of schedule. And it's by doing that, it's by going through that young core that they have. They still have a few first-round draft picks that are playing on the Griffins right now. And I think that's one thing that, you know, Yzerman's probably going to lean on a little bit. And I hope that's not the case. In terms of free agency, like I said, that's just going to be a matter of who's available. Because, I mean, there's I know there are a couple of guys like Marchessault, with the Vegas Knights, somebody that potential to be a free agency, but being on a team that's been in the playoffs almost every year that they've been a team, it's going to be hard for him to say no and stick around a little bit. So if they do dip in the well, for me, I hope they stay away from players like Stamkos. I'm sorry, but he's like 36, 37, right? I think he's 37 years old now. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that you could sign, you know, like a 4-year deal with, somebody who will be there and, you know, like, all right, I can have him on my team. And at the end of this contract, I might give him another couple years. I don't want someone who's going to be out of the league in two. Aside from that, to counter that, there is a free agent that I would really love to see one more year from. Because he proved that, hey, he can stay healthy. He can be vital. And he could be a lot of fun to watch, especially with DeBrincat by his side, and that's Patrick Kane. I know Yzerman's going to offer him one more. I know he's going to offer him one more, and that's the hope, is that, you know, especially with it being a small contract, just being like, hey, man, like, look at what we're able to do. I know we had a slide, but we were able to fight through it. We're right there on the doorstep. And with all the young talent that they have around this squad, I think Patty Kane, I mean, he won't be a team that will, or he won't be a player that will break the team if he leaves, but he definitely could be a player that could turn you from, you know, an 8 seed into, you know, a 5 or a 4 seed.
Having him around, just basing off of how it happens with having some of these guys around in other sports, I mean, it's bringing him in midseason is great, but being able to have him around for the offseason and giving him a full season with the Wings is something that I think could prove to be really big for them next year. And you're right. It's now the expectation has been set now. You have to make the playoffs and or else things are going to have to go through a change. Let's talk about a team now that is nowhere close to the playoffs. That's the Detroit Pistons. They have one of the highest paid coaches in the NBA, yet they picked up only 14 wins on the season. This team is really bad. They're the worst three-point shooting team in a three-point shooting league, and they're one of the worst defensive teams in basketball. And I know people say that, oh, well, they don't play defense anymore. They do. It's just harder. Offense is just so much better than it used to be. Your 10th guy is so skilled on offense now in the NBA that it makes defense very, very hard. Teams that are good on defense are tough teams, physical teams. Pistons haven't been them. I've got some radical ideas that I think might be coming for the Pistons, but this team is not close. They're searching for a president of basketball operations now, which just feels like they're going to put a Band-Aid over Troy Weaver. Troy Weaver is yet again keeping his job. And it's amazing because from the outside looking in, Troy Weaver's not winning games. But when you read the ESPN articles or the Athletic articles that talk about who the best GMs in basketball are, for some reason, his name's always on there. People always bring up Troy Weaver. So he's respected in the league. It's just not going into wins, which is a tough pill to swallow. So I guess maybe if you can get a president of basketball ops who can then kind of lead Troy Weaver, he'll be able to make the right basketball decisions. But this team is bad. The last time they made the playoffs was my freshman year of college back in, and they got swept. I mean, this is a bad basketball team. Or actually, they made them a little bit more recent than that. They got beat by LeBron that year. They also got beat by the Bucks a little bit more recent than that. But this is a bad basketball team that doesn't look like it's getting any better, and yet I don't know where the problem is.
No, it's been a feels like a long time coming for this team, and it's one of those where, you know, you get a couple of players like, you know, when they were able to get Cade, you're thinking, all right, well, this is a piece, to the puzzle that will make a difference. And sure as shit, it's the same team. It really is. And it just does not feel like a winning culture. Whenever you see it, whenever you watch it, it feels like they're one of those teams where they've lost before they've entered the court. It's been really tough to follow and tough to watch.
And it's strange because I really like Cade. If you just go through the players on the roster, I really like Cade Cunningham. I like Jaden Ivey. I love Jalen Duren. I like Isaiah Stewart. There's a lot of guys on this team I like, and yet they won 14 games. The thing going around Detroit sports social media today is that they won as many games as the Lions did in the same season. One plays a 17-game regular season, or, you know, one plays an 82. They won the same amount of games. And I like the players, but it's the structure that tells you that you can like the individual players, but Cade is a good shooter, not great. Jaden Ivey can't shoot. Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart, James Wiseman, insert the one of 52 bigs that this team has. None of them are really stretch shooters. Stewart's trying. You know, he's leaking out to the outside. But they lack wing scoring. They need some help around Cade. I mean, you can see where you can like the players, but you can see why this team doesn't win. The pieces don't fit.
Right. Now, in watching the March Madness tournament, is there one player that sticks out to you that tells you that, hey, if they end up getting this player, yeah, they're not going to be a playoff team, but they'll go from 14 to 30 wins.
That's the thing about like this
Thinking like
draft
that.
is you
Yeah.
have so many players from overseas who are going to get picked before players from the United States are.
Right.
If you want to go off of that though, I like Dalton Kincaid a lot. I think he's really good. He could offer some size while also bringing wing scoring. You know, he's not a baby. He's not 18. You don't have to teach him how to play the game. He's 23. So, you know, you can give him the ball. He'll fit in nicely with what is now slightly older team, still a young team with the Pistons, but slightly older team as Cade enters and Ivy enters, Duren enters more season. I think Duren is just barely 20, but it feels like he's been in the league for 3, 4 years. But I mean, that's just how young he was at Memphis before getting drafted. I like Dalton Kincaid. That's what they need. They need a wing scorer. They need a guy who's tough. They need a guy who can battle around with some guys. That's the thing is I don't want just another skilled player on this team. We've seen skilled players. Cade's skilled. Jaden is skilled. Jalen is skilled. We have skilled players. I want somebody who's going to come in and ruffle some feathers around the building a little bit. And someone who's going to come in and say, you know what, I'm taking over this team. Because Cade's quiet. I like Cade, but he's a quiet guy. And I'm fine with that. I am fine with that. But you've got to get another guy around him who's vocal, who can honestly show it with him too. Because this team's going nowhere right now with the way that it's built. And go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I was just gonna say, like, going off the young players that they have. I mean, I know Ivy was, I mean, he wasn't really a vocal player, but he could. I mean, I'm talking on his days at Purdue. He was one of those players where, if he made a play, he'll show it. He'll show emotion, but he didn't seem like one of those that will get under teammates' skin to rile them up to in a good way. In a way to push them where it's like, hey, I'm gonna piss you off so you play better. It was more of, all right, just give me the ball, let me go to the point and do my thing. It was Ivy and everybody else. I mean, I may maybe a little bit of maybe a little bit of ignition, a little bit of lighter fluid could be good for this team because they have good players, and it's just a matter of trying to figure out, because I mean the names that you're putting out are guys where I'm like, man, in college, he was a stud. And you got a few college studs on this team that just cannot seem to put it together. And you mentioned it, the structure could be an issue, and really just the motivation that they're getting off of the bench, whether it be through the head coach or the assistant coaches, just don't seem to be there. And it's got to be tough, on a professional level to really have the motivation and the drive when you're not receiving it, you're not getting, I mean, I'm not talking getting nudged, I'm talking getting pushed, getting driven. And if you don't have that, it's got to be tough. But I mean, yeah, maybe it's just a little bit of firepower, a little lighter fluid.
Yeah, Jaden Ivey's again a good player. I like him, but yeah, he's not someone who makes people better. He's not someone who's going to make his teammates better players. Cade Cunningham is, but if you need just more players like that, and you mentioned, I think the coach, the thing is, they're hamstrung with Monty Williams. There's nothing they can do. I mean, Tom Gores can afford it. He's one of the, I think he's in the top half of richer owners in the NBA. He could afford it to just move on for Monty Williams because you look at their last three coaches, Stan Van Gundy, Dwayne Casey, and now Monty Williams. You're talking about guys who had winning pedigrees outside of Detroit, but they didn't build those teams. They didn't build what they had there. Now, Dwayne Casey, he gets some credit with Toronto, but they won after him. And, you know, the Orlando Magic with Stan Van Gundy. I mean, that was Dwight Howard in a cloud of dust. It's not going to work these days. And Monty Williams, I mean, that looked like it's a mess in Phoenix, and it seems like he might have been a part of it. So they need someone who's willing to come in and just build this thing from the ground up. I want to see either go hire, I don't know, Calvin Sampson from Houston. Go hire him and let him just build this thing from the ground up. Let him teach these guys how to play tough basketball. Go get an assistant who's really good. Go find something that isn't just let's go get whoever the biggest name coach is, which it seems like that's what Tom Gores likes to do, is just go get, well, who's got the most name recognition? And let's make it happen. So I'm ready for a full restart because, you know, one thing I'm starting to think of, Andy, is we're starting to make our way towards here. And this team's bad, 14th. This is a bad draft. This is not a great draft. Mm-hmm. So they're probably not going to get some superstar player, which means they're going to be bad again next year. When do you think about trading Cade Cunningham? When do you think about capitalizing on that value? Because I think they're on their way to another complete restart. And I'm just not sure Cade's going to be that guy because I don't see how you can just keep the core that you have. Now, I would love to keep Cade and Durin and get rid of, and I would be happy getting rid of everybody else. That would be my goal. But man, you know what? When you're restarting, sometimes you got to get rid of the best piece. And that's Cade Cunningham. I don't want to get rid of him. I'm not saying they should get rid of him. I'm just saying, when do you at least start to put that on the meeting notes?
I mean, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, especially with how young this squad is, this isn't it's tough to see that, you know, yeah, it's not a team built of superstars, but they're a team built of, you know, of guys that are just now starting to drink, which just blows my mind. It feels like, you know, a quarter of this team could easily still be in college. And we're talking about possibly trading a couple pieces away. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong. It's just a matter of, you know, trying to find the right guy or really just the right staff, because I don't think one coach is really going to make a difference. It's got to be, you know, whether it be going out and getting Sampson. If you want to dip into the college pool, go for it. Just leave Dan Hurley alone. Right. It's tough. I mean, trying to think about dipping away a 22-year-old player. Granted, he's going to be turning 23 this year, but
yeah, it's probably
he's
not.
He's got value. You can get value for him, though.
Yeah, it's this year is not the time. If they go, you know, 15 and 67 next year, you know, are you going to start thinking about it at 15 and 67? Are you going to start thinking about it at 20 and 62? You know, when do you actually start to think about, oh, we need to make a change here and we've got to start trading off players? It's not this year. And yeah, he is only 22, but drastic changes need to come, and I don't know where that's going to happen.
Right. No, I mean, it'll be interesting. I really don't see a way up for this team, especially with how long they've been in the dumps. It's been so difficult. I mean, you know me, especially being a fan of Detroit sports, the Pistons are the bottom of my poll, but I mean, that's just been for a reason. It's been very difficult to follow and difficult to be a fan of. And I think really it's a whole culture change and trying to find somebody who would be willing. I think that's probably half the battle, is finding somebody who would be willing to go into Detroit and be like, yeah, I'll take on this challenge. Because time and time again, you've gotten big. I mean, Van Gundy, I feel like, was a bad hire, just fell apart. And then, you know, getting Dwayne Casey, it's like, all right, sure, you know, trying to make a step up. And, I mean, you thought Monty Williams was the core of the success there in Phoenix, and we quickly learned that was not the case. It was just – The players were the fog in front of him, and that was really it, which is disappointing. It'll be a very, very difficult and a very long off season for the Pistons, that's for sure.
Yeah, because also the way free agency has worked recently, it's not like there's big change for them that's coming soon with that. It's going to be trying to build through the core. It's going to be trying to build through the draft. It's going to be trying to find a steal in the draft, because that's the only thing they're going to be able to do is try and find steals, because they might get the number one overall pick. It very well might be there. But we don't know if the guys that they pick at number one are going to 100% work. They've been picking towards the tops of drafts for the last few years. I mean, Asar Thompson came in this year, and he seems all right. But again, they brought in another guy who can't shoot. They brought in a defender on a bad defensive team, but they brought in another guy who can't shoot. You give him some time to develop a jump shot, but that's going to take a while. And he's just a baby. He's just young. You know, you got to give him 3-4 years when he's in his early 20s, which is amazing. In 3-4 years, he'll be in his early 20s to be able to develop a jump shot. But we need something else to happen in these 3-4 years to show that this team is at least trying to win. But they are a long way out. Let's wrap up on something slightly positive. You've been paying attention much to the Tigers recently. Was kind of your early gauge on them. They lost. We're recording this on Wednesday. They lost to the Rangers today, reigning World Series champs, in a close game. They're 10-8 now, I believe, is the record here on Wednesday, April 17th. They sit in third place in the division behind the Guardians and behind the Twins. Or excuse me, not the Twins, behind the Royals, who have been pretty fun to start the year. So what's kind of your early take on where the Tigers are this year?
Well, I mean, after a hot start, which is fun to see, I mean, I think now we're kind of getting to see what the Tigers really were. And, it is what it is. I mean, I did watch a little bit of the game today. And, I mean, yeah, they competed with the Rangers. They didn't have quit in them. I want to say at one point they were down 4-1, if I remember correctly. And I was kind of meant, I mean, I was at work. I had it on my laptop. I was cashing out at that point. And made a game. It was 4-4 going into the ninth. And then they just gave it away. But, I mean, it is what it is. Skubal he didn't have a bad outing. There were a couple of problem innings that he had, and of course it started with the top of the lineup. First inning was an issue. I want to say he had bases loaded, nobody out, and it was just one of those. You know, Skubal had an error in the first, which I want to say allowed Seager on. Then he had a walk, and it was just one of those like, oh boy, here we go. You know, try to minimize damage, and he did. I think the Rangers only got away with one run there. Which was good to see. He can get in trouble and he can get out of it minimally. I think really it's just the offense is what concerns me. But, I mean, the young players are there. And, they're getting consistent play, which is good to see. You know, it's still weird to think that, you know, Mark Canha is your one offensive threat who can consistently probably do some damage. I'd like there to be somebody else. I'm trying to be patient on Torkelson. I'm trying. I know it's early, but, he's somebody that, you know, I know, as you know, we've been excited to see him for what, 3 years now. And, it's been a rough start for him, including last year. It's been a rough start as a Tiger for him. So, really hoping he's able to turn it around and really produce like how I saw him produce with West Michigan, destroying the Great Lakes Loons whenever I was there to work and luckily watch him play and hit over in the street and out of left field. Just trying to be patient with these young hitters. You know, it's there. It's just a matter of how long can you wait, and really how long can this pitching hold up? Because their bullpen's great. I don't know where they're at right now. I know at the start of either last game or the night or the game prior, they were top of the league in relation to their bullpen stats. Right now, maybe at least top five, giving up a couple out of their bullpen, but they're giving up at least one out of their bullpen that they did. But, you know, yeah. It is what it is. At this point now, I think you just got to play within your division. And I think those are really the only teams got to focus on. And, you know, I don't give a shit what your record is. Just stay near the top half of your division. And don't dip below third.
Yeah, don't you got some bad teams. You know, the White Sox are as bad as it gets. They're going to be the worst team in baseball this year, which is amazing. They might catch, the A's might fall down to them. I think the A's are close to 500, but the A's will fall down. They're a terrible team. But I'm not worried about today's loss, Wednesday's loss. It's an anomaly that the defense is going to screw up at the beginning. This defense is really good. That's an anomaly. I'm really not worried about today's loss. It's the 1-0 losses that I'm worried about. They picked up a nice win in this series. That's good. But I'm not worried about Wednesday's loss. That's fine. That's going to happen in the course of 162. Big error by Skubal, big error by Torkelson. I'm with you. I am so much slower to burn on Spencer Torkelson than you or Kyle are. Kyle is worried on game one if Torkelson doesn't have three homers. I'm not quite there yet, but I am a little bit worried right now. Torkelson had 30 home runs last year. He came on at the end of the year, and it just hasn't been there. You're not seeing it. Last year, all we heard was, oh, well, all you have to do is wait. He keeps on hitting the ball hard, and I can't have that excuse again. I refuse to have that excuse again. You got to figure it out. You've got to hit the ball over the wall. Or if he was hitting 310, no one would care either. If he was 310 with no homers, people would be like, oh, the power will come. But he's not. He's hitting 200. Riley Green's been very good to begin the year. Riley Green's done a really, really nice job at the top of the lineup. I like him. Colt Keith is a baby. And this offensive structure is not built for young guys to succeed. We'll see how he can go because it's a very passive offense. And young guys need to be built into a very aggressive offense. And it's a very passive offense to watch. The Tigers are a boring watch even when they hit because they are so passive. But on the good side, yes, the pitching is good. And Kerry Carpenter hit a friggin' piss missile today. So he hit an absolute bomb today. So I'm happy about that. So if he can get going a little bit, that can slow down some of my fear about the power in the offense.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Carpenter was mic'd up today.
I did.
With the crew. So that was one of those things where right after that happened, they're like, yeah, we probably got to, you know, give him the mic a little bit more often. Out of the young guys, Carpenter definitely has stood out. I mean, right now he's nearing 300 in terms of his average, tied with the team, excuse me, with home runs. And so Carpenter, out of the young guys, he's really stood out. And the one other thing, too, I mean, as much as Riley Green's average isn't what you'd expect it to be, I'll take 15 walks through this event.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with that. Because right now, yeah, his average is at 222, but his OPS is almost at 800, which 800's for me, that's your target. That's where you want to hit. That's where you want to be around. And so that's really good to see. So at least, you know, yeah, Canna, we're getting what we expected out of him. But in relation to the bright spots of their offense, Green and Carpenter have really been showing up, and especially as of late, and that's been good to see.
Yeah, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised to see if McKinstry continues to struggle and if Jace Young continues to tear AAA up, it may end up being a swap there where McKinstry loses his job to Jace Young. You got to find offense here somewhere. Yeah. And right now, if Akil Baddoo has done pretty well at AAA, I wouldn't be surprised if Parker Meadows gets sent down, but Meadows did hit a homer today. He drew a walk today. He might be starting to see the ball a little bit. I also don't want to rush these young guys. That's another thing, is if you want to bring up a young guy and drop a veteran, that's fine. I don't want to rush the young guys. Don't rush Parker Meadows to the minor leagues. Let him stay up here and struggle. This team is not exactly built to be great. They're still young. It's not like they made a big free agency move. This team isn't quite ready, probably, to compete in the division if we're in a real division. But we're in a pretty crappy division. One hot team can win it. We'll see where this goes. Right now, you could, outside of the White Sox, you could flip this division over by the end of the year, where it could be that the Twins win the division with the Tigers second, the Royals third, the Guardians fourth by the end of the year. We don't know where this is going to go. But it's a strange time to be a Detroit sports fan because we want to be excited. We've been so bad recently. But the Lions are really good. The Lions are legitimate contenders. The NFL draft is next week, and I barely care. because the Lions aren't picking to like actually change their franchise at all. You're filling depth. You're filling holes to go to make another run to the NFC title game, hopefully this year, or at least win the NFC North. I'm happy if they just win the division again, to be honest with you. I say that now. We'll see what I say in 7 months. But right now, I'd be happy with them just winning the division. But the Pistons are awful. The Tigers have been terrible since 2014. The Wings are on the up and up. I'm going to have to bandwagon the Wings because I need another Detroit team to be excited about. If there's room on the Wings bandwagon, I may have to join next year.
Plenty.
All righty. You can find Taking On Sports on social media, and make sure that you follow us on both Twitter and Facebook. Check us out on Spotify. And next week, we will have our mock draft that will go through the entire first round, and we'll be making the picks as the GMs. One of my favorite podcasts, if not my favorite podcast of the year. So that'll be fun coming up, especially with so many quarterbacks that people have opinions on. We'll see what we end up doing next week as our own personal GM. So, Andy, appreciate it, my friend. I'm Brad Gressens, Taking On Sports.